friends. Julie Cotton here with Next Level Improv, and I want to welcome you to our very first video and audio podcast. So this is called Permission to Play. So I love to play, and I've been playing my whole life, and I want to give others permission to do the same thing. So you can see this behind me. This is kind of my motivation and inspiration for doing this podcast. For those of you who are just listening in, it's totally fine. What is behind me is an image of a silhouette of Peter Pan, which I just had the opportunity to play at a local theater. It was my dream role. I've been wanting to do it since I was like 12 years old, and here I am, finally getting to play it. And so I want to invite all of us to remember that inner child, remember that child within us that knows how to play, is still innocent and full of wonder and curiosity and delight and joy. And so, hi everybody. Some of you know me. I'm Julie Cotton, and I have had the pleasure of performing most of my life. I started doing acting when I was about 5 years old, and my mother was the music director of our choir at our church, and we did a Christmas play, and I was devastated that I was not cast as Mary, so I'm like, Mom, come on. She put me as an angel instead, and if you're seeing me, you know why. I found blonde hair and blue-eyed and not a bit looking like Mary from Jesus's day. Anyway, that was the beginning of my falling in love with performing and playing and singing and just being out in front of an audience. Some people might not love that aspect, which I can get. But not everybody is a born performer. And honestly, I wasn't either. I started really getting into theater probably around that age, around five. My parents were maybe like a lot of people's parents, and they fought a lot. And they were very, you know, a lot of arguing happening in our home of origin. My mother was bipolar. My brother had, behavioral stuff. He had attention deficit disorder and just really required a lot of my parents' attention and parenting. And so here I was at that little five-year-old being bit by the bug of wow, people, when I'm on stage, they pay attention to me. And I really wasn't getting that attention met at home. So I started just doing my thing. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to the theater then. I'm going to go to the stage and get my needs for being seen and being heard met. Not that my parents didn't want to see or hear me, or that they didn't ever, but I didn't want to get kind of punished in the way that we did in my home of origin. We had spankings. We had a lot of discipline. You know, we all did chores and things, which I'm super grateful for now. And yet, for my little five-year-old brain, she had a hard time figuring out what was love and what was just neglect. So I have, through years and years of personal development work, I was blessed to get to do theater my whole life. So theater for me has been this kind of saving grace. Theater has been where I could go and be anybody. I could escape into the world of the play. I could escape into the world of make believe and play pretend. And so I'm super, super grateful that I had that outlet. And now, years later, after I've gone through all kinds of personal development and transformation and therapy and coaching and all of this great stuff, to see, oh, wow, you know, humaning's kind of hard. Being a kid is kind of hard. And so to have theater, to have acting, to have an outlet to really play through some of the internal drama, maybe that was coming from an external world. I don't know if anybody can relate that might be listening to this or watching this. It can be hard. And so my passion for wellness, mental well-being and physical well-being was really born in those early days in a home that was full of a lot of kind of chaos and trauma and drama. And so I have taken that drama to the stage. Yes, to the stage we go. And I love doing things like Peter Pan, doing things that are comedic. I actually love to make people laugh. That was an outlet for me. So I got into music and singing and dancing. And eventually I got into improv comedy when I was in my late teens. I went to college, undergraduate studies were in a theater education with a minor in vocal performance. And I wanted to share this love of creating worlds and playing make-believe with others. And so once I got into a more improv comedy-based format where it was a little less rehearsal required, although lots of training, because to make something look effortless and make believe in the moment, and do it with a whole group of people, which is what improv is instead of like stand-up comedy, it requires all of us being on the same page and learning to play together, learning to trust each other, which is why I have now taken improv and turned it into kind of this transformational tool, really. So I have used improv to perform for myself, for joy, for delight, for play, to make people laugh. It's fun to create and live on the edge like that when you don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. And then I'd moved to Florida at some point in my 20s or 30s, and I was part of this weekly group gathering. We would break bread together and have like a potluck, and then we would do meditations, and we were kind of this spiritual group that all just kind of like-minded, like-hearted people. It was called Heartspace, actually. Many people may end up watching this video at some point that are part of Heartspace. And so the founders of that, Melina and Phil, they had a recovery center in Florida, and they both came to see a performance of improv that I was in a company back then. I was working with Sick Puppies Comedy in Boca Raton. And they came and saw a show of ours, and they were like, that's so great. They left laughing and they had a great time. They're like, would you come and present at our Heartspace group? It was kind of a networking thing where somebody from the group would chat or share about their modality or share a testimony from their life. We had like World War II survivor, and we had someone that had survived breast cancer. And so it was always very uplifting and kind of inspiring for the speakers to come. And so I was like, well, sure. And I ended up hosting it at a home that I had lived in. We had like a clubhouse. And so I brought a couple of other improv actors in with me to act out or play to the folks that hadn't come to the show, right? So for all the other Heartspace people, we would have anywhere between, 20 and 60 people come to these events. So it was a nice size audience for our performers to come and do a show for. And then this fellow, Phil and his wife, Melina, they had a recovery center, had mental health patients and addiction recovery, and they were pretty out there on the edge of like trying new modalities. So they would have on Fridays, they would have somebody new come in to the center, and they would work with the clients and support them in overall wellness. So they were looking like once somebody had gotten kind of free from an addictive substance or an abusive behavior of some kind or a mental health challenge, what kind of things could they put in place to replace that? It kind of created this vacuum, right? And so he's like, well, let's try improv. And at the time, I was also a martial artist. I still, I guess, technically am. And I was much more active back then. And so I was like, oh, well, I can bring some kickboxing in. I could bring some yoga. I'm a yoga teacher certified as well. Pilates, things like that. And I can bring this improv in. So we tried all these little things. And then I also am a wellness practitioner. I've been a licensed massage therapist for, 17, almost 18 years now. And so I did some hands-on like cranial sacral therapy that was really good at helping regulate the nervous system. And so it was all of these ways that could support clients that were building up new positive ways of being in the world and being in relationship to the world. So every Friday I would come by, and we would always do improv while I was there. And then sometimes I would do kickboxing, or sometimes I would do like self-defense for the women, or sometimes I do cranial sacral if anybody felt like they wanted to get regulated. And so after about a couple months of time, this recovery center, they got together with their leadership and their therapists and people that were serving the client population. And they evaluated what of these, what they brought in, like a chiropractor, and they brought in like drumming and like a Native American flute and acupuncture, just all of these really great things. And so they kind of went through everything, and they asked, I think they did a client feedback form as well as connecting with the actual therapists and other folks. And it was, everybody loved the improv. Everybody loved the improv. And that is where Next Level Improv was born. So because of my work with that center, it was like, well, we're kind of having next level conversations with people. We are bringing them to their next level of experiencing life, and we're using joy and play and coming together and coming into agreement and creating make-believe worlds together with no real stakes as like a practice for how do we interface with the quote-unquote real world, right? So, I mean, I have a belief, and many improvisers that I share the stage with have this thing that improv is life. You know, we wake up every morning and we don't have a script. We don't know what we're going to say. We have the gist of things. Like, I knew I was going to come on here and share with all of you kind of what I've been up to and what this podcast is all about, what you can expect from me, and kind of coming out and sharing and inviting really everybody to play, because really there's so much freedom in play. Laughter is medicine, is the best medicine. And when we can laugh, we actually raise our internal vibration. We raise the energy and how our blood flows, how the oxygen gets delivered into our cells. It's so good for sleep and digestion and rest and feeling restored and feeling so many different endorphins fire in the brain when we're laughing and when we're smiling and when we're in that. So for me to be able to come alongside other people, and I'm getting to do it with people of all ages really these days, which is so wonderful and delightful. And so that's what I'm here for, is to give y'all permission to play the way that I did when I first founded my company. So all of that to say, hi, so glad you're here to play with me. We will be doing all kinds of things. Play can mean so many different things to so many different people. Some people might think of play as like playing an instrument or playing a sport or playing with toys, like children with toys. And yes, and to all of that, that's a major principle of improv, is to say yes and add your own unique gifting and ideas to that. So we will be playing. We'll be talking about play. I'm hoping to bring on play experts, not just me. You might get a little bored if it was just me up here yapping at you. And I would also love to hear from all of you. So anyone that finds this video podcast or this is listening to this podcast, wherever you find it, if you're able to reach out to me, you can always email me at julie@nextlevelimprov.com. At the time of this recording, my website is having a massive overhaul, which is fantastic because my whole branding, my whole where am I headed in the world has shifted. And so I want where people come to look for me to reflect that. It's been kind of great because really coming together and getting unified into where am I going and why has been super helpful. And I'm hoping that it will be super helpful for all of you as well. So what I've come to know, and I will come to share as often as I can, looking to make these once a week, is that all roads lead home, right? Everything's going in the same direction. All the ducks are getting into a row here. And so when I talk to people, they hear kind of a running list of my daily or weekly activities, and they're like, oh my gosh, Julie, you do so much. And really, I'm like, do I? Or everything I do really is pointed toward the same purpose or towards the same direction. And that is, for me, I believe in a world that is loving, joyful, and free. One of the things I love about Peter Pan and his motto at the end, when he's fighting with Captain Hook, Hook says, "Who and what art thou, Pan?" And he says, "I am youth, I am joy, I am freedom." And I would say yes, yes and to all of that. And so as someone who stands for a world that is loving, joyful, and free, what does that mean? Almost all of my modalities, I imagine that I have this great big toolbox. And inside this toolbox are all of my tools and toys and techniques and tricks and modalities and all the things that I use to support people in having a life that is loving, joyful, and free. I believe that we are all divine beings having a human experience. And so the more I can remind people of their divinity, their divine self, which is why I do things like yoga and meditation, the more we can live from that divine, loving being a human being, right? The experience, you think like divinity, you know, whatever your religious or spiritual background is, it doesn't matter. Like, everybody has a word for what they would call God or the divine or energy or, you know, Buddha, Allah, Krishna, like all of it, right? The universe, source, whatever your language is around that, the I am that I am, right? That consciousness that is beyond form, that has no beginning and end, that is eternal, right? That aspect that lives in each and every one of us. And we kind of forget, you know, we forget that that's, oh yeah, that's who I really am. And the more we pinch ourselves off from it, the worse we feel. And so my calling on the planet is really to help people stop pinching themselves off from who they are, right? And sometimes I do that through body work, where it's like literally their body is tense and locked up and they have a frozen shoulder or a sciatic or all kinds of pain in their body. Well, that pain is just information to be like, hey, whatever it is you've been doing, this position that we're in right now isn't aligned with how we're designed to move or how we're designed to be or how we're designed to breathe, right? And so for me to come alongside and be like, hey, let me help you, you know, move through that space of constriction or that space of being cut off from the truth of who you are. And how do we then build? Because if we have habits, years, oftentimes decades of improper misaligned movement or thinking, you know, how do the thoughts move in our head? And think, I've had people will come in and say, oh, well, that's my bad knee or my bad hip or my bad shoulder. And I was like, don't listen to them, body. You're great. You're the best shoulder. You're the best knee. You're the best hip ever. And I work with people to become a space where they are taking care of themselves, where they are being the most loving, kind being to themselves internally and externally. And so everything that I do is about that. Everything I do is about that. And may it be so for you as well. And so may you come along this journey with me, for find me wherever you find me, however you find me, and be invited to come play as often as you can, whether that's just listening in or watching a video. My intention is to create these, again, I said weekly, and then also create other opportunities or just share. I am already doing so many other things. I'm kind of the best kept secret ever. Like today, at the time of this recording, I just got to play with my local Boys and Girls Club, bringing improv into some of those kids. And we're really, really excited. I'm starting to partner with a woman from the Front Porch, which is a counseling center. She's a family and a marriage and family therapist, my friend Kathleen Blumentritt. And we are bringing mental health into the realm of improv. And so we're sharing this kind of mindfulness, mindful play aspect of things. And we're bringing those into school-aged children and their teachers and their adults and their supervisors and people that are working with them, facilitators and things, so that all of us can have a well-regulated nervous system. Because ultimately, when we get to where we're tired or we're hangry or we're frustrated or we're in conflict and we can't find our way out, you know, oftentimes we go into fight or flight and our nervous system is frayed and it's in defense mode and it's in like attack mode. And so we've stopped listening. We've shut down parts of our brain and we can't listen with an empathetic heart or a compassionate mind. And so what improv can do is it really levels the playing field and it gets us back into stepping back out of the moment, taking a breath. I do breath work with people as well, both groups and individuals. And it's like, okay, just stop, breathe, let's get present. Cause, Julie, you know, it happens to me too. I'll get excited. I'll get, you know, triggered by something in my external world, or even my internal thoughts will get me spiraling down. And it's like, whoa, 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 time out. You know, Julie has left the building and now this part of my brain that's spiraling, or my hungry self or my angry self or my defensive self, is now negotiating on my behalf. Don't listen to anything she says. It is not true. And so how can we reclaim our joy when the scene seems to go awry? And improv is a great tool to do that. Mental health stuff is a great tool. Wellness is a great tool. And I look forward to diving into all of this with all of you. At the time of this recording, it is March 27th, and I am doing some online improv things. I have a drop-in improv class that is promoted on Eventbrite. You can look for next level improv stuff there. If I'm able to drop links anywhere, I don't know that I'm that sophisticated yet with YouTube, but I'll get there. So in the meantime, if you do want to join us, we're doing a Saturday this coming Saturday, the 30th of March at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's, again, that's on Eventbrite. If you're local, now I happen to be in the Elkhart, Indiana, Michiana area. And if you want to pop in, we're going to do an in-person one on Easter Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So after church is done, maybe before your dinner or after your lunch, 2 to 3:30, we're going to do a drop-in. So if you want to come play, that's what I got going this week, and I'll keep you posted and see you next week. Bye for now.